When I was about 10 or 11 years old, sometime I was with my father downtown in Knoxville, Tennessee. We were at a drugstore that I was not familiar with. We went in, and as we approached where the pharmacist was, I noticed that there was kind of a cold atmosphere. There was no exchange of pleasantries whatsoever. My father asked the pharmacist for an object. The pharmacist turned to my father and said, "Do you have any money?" You could see the contempt in his face. Well, I was shocked at this, and so was my father, and he answered in anger, "Doggone right," or something like that. "If I didn't have the money, I wouldn't have asked you for it." Well, I knew my father had been shamed. I didn't understand it. The transaction was made. My father did have the money. He paid for it. And we left. And as we left the drugstore, nothing was said about it. The only sound was my father's feet and my feet hitting the pavement. Sometime later, I figured out what it was. My father probably owed a lot of money to this person. He owed money other places too. He was addicted to prescription drugs, and he also had a gambling problem. Both of my parents worked, but somehow or another, they went from payday to payday. It was not enough money to keep up with those addictions. We did not own a home. We did not own a car. We used a streetcar we lived close to the end of the line for the streetcar, and we used the streetcar for transportation to go to town for where they worked or for medical visits and whatnot. The purpose of this talk this morning for me is to introduce you to my and my wife Audra's history and how we got to this church and how we became members of this church and how we became part of this, our family, this church family for us. That is the way we feel. We appreciate your love so much. I will start with my family history and then Audra will join us later. Excuse me. I grew up in East Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee. I had two brothers, twins, 3 years older, Paul and Earl. Earl had meningitis when he was a baby, and this left him a little mentally slow, and he had epilepsy. He got along pretty well. But when he was in junior high school, suddenly he deteriorated tremendously. His mental state, he just became out of it. He was in another world. He also became physically incontinent. And so our parents just could not take care of him at home. So he wound up in the state hospital. The following year, I was in junior high school, and somehow or other, I don't know why, but I wound up in a class that was, I would say, we were low achievers. I don't think I was very happy with that. That was part of the problem. But anyway, for the next year, two or three years, that was my period of denial, I would say. I developed this system, excuse me, where I could just sort of push this imaginary button in my head, and I went into a world of dreamland. I had my world of my own. That worked pretty good. I didn't have to deal with reality. But that's not very good for academics. I guess I was depressed. One time, there was a fire station close to where we lived, and the only person that ever said anything to me about this was a fireman asked me one day, "Do you ever feel sorry for yourself?" Well, I denied it. But I knew that a person was not supposed to feel sorry for themselves, but it did make me think. Well, I was kind of out of control, I would say. I was not passing courses in school, and I was off in this dreamland a lot, and actually I got kind of worried, and I think that I might get out in this dream world and not be able to come back. So I started working on coming back, and I was able to improve it. It took a long time, but I knew this was not right, and I was still out of control of it. So I realized somewhere on a certain level that I needed more discipline and a better structure to my life. Well, things sort of came together in a way. My mother was transferred in her job to Chattanooga, Tennessee. My father had just died of cancer. And so she went to Chattanooga, and I joined the Navy because I felt that the Navy would give me this discipline and the structure to my life that I needed. So it did, it worked. I went into the Navy, and I was there 4 years, and I learned there that you have to be responsible for what you're going to do in life. You don't get up and say, "I don't feel like going to work today. I had a bad night last night. I don't want to paint this thing today." So that helped me. I was in the Navy for 4 years, and then when I got out of the Navy, so what was I going to do? High school dropout. I had heard that you could make good money in Detroit, Michigan, so Detroit, Michigan, here I come. It was very easy to find a job, and I did make good money. I worked for General Motors, and for 6 weeks, I would take an object from one hand, do something to it here, hand it to another person, over and over, 8 hours a day. After 6 weeks, I said to myself, there's got to be a better way. So I quit that job. I went back to Tennessee. I took a test and got a GED high school equivalency diploma. Then I went over to the University of Tennessee and signed up. I enrolled there, and so I went to college on the GI Bill. A little later, as I was in school, another thing happened. My mother, who had never been sick that I recall in my whole life, excuse me, she developed this really rapidly developing neurological disease of some kind, and I don't know what it was yet. The doctors couldn't agree, but she got various physical symptoms, kept getting, and she landed in the hospital, and several just kept getting worse and worse. And then she went into dementia and died all within a 4 month period. Well, I was still trying to kind of sort out what this life was all about. And my brother, by this time, Paul, was a Presbyterian minister in Ohio, and he was running a summer camp, and he asked me to come up and work for the summer. So I did. That is where I met my wife, Audra, and that is where my life really took a wonderful turn. We liked each other very much. A year and a half later, she was there as a volunteer nurse at this camp. She was in nursing school, so after she graduated from nursing school, which was about a year and a half later, we got married. And another thing that happened about that time is my job, I got transferred to Atlanta, Georgia. So Audra and myself, newlyweds, Atlanta, Georgia, new place, and everything worked fine. We were in the Atlanta area for about 5 years. Then I got transferred to Greenville, South Carolina. Audra worked as a nurse for the first year. And then we had decided early on that we would be a one-income couple, family, because two reasons. We wanted Audra to be with the children, and we did not want to become dependent on two incomes. Okay, where was it? We were transferred to Greenville as a family of three. 4 years later, as a family of five, we were transferred to Charlotte, North Carolina. And there, some more good stuff happened. When we got to Charlotte, we joined a Presbyterian church nearby. We usually became that's just what we did everywhere we went. And it was a Presbyterian church. And when we got there, we became friends with several other young couples, including the young minister and his wife. In this particular case, the minister was especially interested in individual and growth in couples, personal growth. So he was encouraging all of these young couples to develop and improve their marriages. Well, I think all of these couples, excuse me, probably would have said they had good marriages. And I thought we had a good marriage too. But I would say that most of our energy for the first 10 years or so probably went into the necessities of life. I was working hard, and Audra was keeping up with all the family obligations, keeping the house and the children. Well, this minister got us all together, and we would have workshops. We did role playing. We read books on it, and we learned that we had a lot of things to learn about communication, especially as a couple. Audra and I found out that sometimes our marriage was kind of like a minefield. I'd walk around and tiptoe around this subject or that subject because it might upset her, and she'd do the same thing with me. Well, we found out that with honest communication, telling each other what we wanted, what we liked, what we didn't like, it opened up our marriage to just another level, improved our lives tremendously. But on the one hand, we still didn't have a lot of resources. We were the only one that kept income was part of it. But we did find different ways to improve having fun in our marriage. One thing we did, sometimes late in the evening, after the children were in bed, we would put a white tablecloth on the dining room table, candles, our nicest tableware, a bottle of wine. We would have a room, we would dress up, and we would have a nice romantic dinner late at night. Another thing that Audra did, she had this little jar with little slips of paper in it. She called it the joy jar. I would open the jar and look at the slip. It would say, 5 minute back scratch. or maybe 2 minute foot massage, something like that. Well, we were getting along really well. And then coincidentally, we were sort of open to, I can't explain this, but our marriage was more open, and we were also at the same time became more open to developing our spiritual journey. And as our minds were open to this, it just happened that we stumbled across some information about this church group that was what would be called a new thought group, and their emphasis was on metaphysical interpretations of the Bible. And we were really attracted to this, and it was all new to us. So we became a part of this group, and we liked it so much that there were two summers that our whole family, we took the whole family from Charlotte to Kansas City, Missouri. It's 1,000 miles for a 1 week family retreat. And it was a wonderful vacation. We still like this group, and we still read the publications, but somewhere along the line, it was in the early 1980s, we decided we wanted to try a mainline church again. So that's how we got to First Church. So we came to visit First Church, and we liked it immediately. We thought we found another home. And the interesting thing about it to us was that the message that we heard when we came back to the mainline church was the message that we had left to hear before. So I guess, and what we figured out was that the message was here all the time, but we just didn't hear it. But we are very happy in this church. We feel the love from everyone. We feel like we have come full circle in a way. As children in church, we both remember how we felt. We felt safe and we felt loved. And that is the way we feel here. We feel that way now. So we're here forever. When our earthly lives end, we want our ashes to be put in the memorial garden. There is something for everyone in this church. And one more thing, of all the volunteer work that I have done, the one that I like best, and I still like it best, is working one-on-one with individuals who are signing up for food stamps. It's called SNAP now. Let everybody know what food stamps are. So that's what I'll call it. So every other week, when FoodShare sends its food truck to this church in the parking lot, Audra helps, and among many other people who help hand out food to people who are in need. Well, at the same time they're doing that, I'm working the crowd, so to speak, trying to find someone who I can sign up for food stamps. And I've met some very wonderful people. And the people who come to this to pick up food and the people who are signing up for food stamps, they are so grateful. And some of them I've gotten to know a little better having worked with them to sign up for food stamps. And I want to tell you about a couple of them. One is a retired college professor. He's a very kind old man. I really enjoyed talking with him. Another is this young single mom who came here from Africa several years ago. Another that comes to mind is this young waitress. She's a single mom with three small children. And she was really struggling. I thought, when I told her how much help she was going to get from food stamps, I thought she would do a backflip. She was so happy. Another person, the last one I'll tell you about, is a man about 40. He was running a combination gasoline convenience store. He was struggling. He had some major medical issues, type 1 diabetes, heart condition. But he had to make a decision about whether he would spend his money on medicine or something else sometimes. And I'll never forget this. I asked him to send in a form to mail it. He said, "That's another 40 cents. I don't know, can you imagine?" Anyway, that makes me think about how, through just a stroke of bad luck, any of us could be at that condition anytime if we run into a big financial problem because of illness or be downsized. So I hope that I will always see the dignity and the humanity in the folks who somehow got into this position. I don't care how they got there, they're there. And sometimes I think back about that pharmacist that I told you about, and I wonder, when he was looking at my father, what did he see? What was he thinking? I don't want to ever forget it. I don't like to think about it, but I don't want to forget that.